fast note before we get started today. Please know this podcast may contain content that may be disturbing to some listeners. All opinions expressed are that of the individual and are not meant as a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice. We advise reading the show notes for more detailed description before you listen to this podcast. Remember, mental health matters. Please take good care of yourself. Hello and welcome. It's Tammy Lawrence, Symbolisti here. Thank you for joining us for the I'm Still Here, Messages from the Other Side podcast. Each week, we'll be talking to individuals who believe that they have had messages from the other side. So interesting to hear as we all share our time together, still here. Everyone. Today we are speaking with philanthropist Summer Davenport. She is a best-selling author and speaker, animal rights advocate, and puzzle master. Sumner is passionate about equal access for persons with disabilities and is a specialist in web accessibility. Hello, Sumner.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm awesome. I am surrounded by three wonderful animals who are sitting here looking at me because they think I'm talking to them, of course, and sharing their loves. I'm having a wonderful morning and I get to talk to you.
Perfect. What's the weather like out there today? I know I'm in Ontario and it's rainy and it's drizzly and it's quite cool outside.
It's June, so we have what some people call June gloom. I don't find it gloomy at all. This is my favorite month. Because it's my birthday month, but it is a little overcast, a little cool. It is going to be warm this afternoon and humid, and then this evening it will be cold. I'm going to be able to experience more than one season from morning till evening tonight. In Southern California, we got variety today.
Yeah, and actually in Ontario, happy birthday, by the way, in advance. In Ontario, it definitely, we get that all of the time, especially this time of year. So thank you for joining us today. We were going to discuss having visitors from the other side or the perception of visitors from the other side. Have you had that within your experience?
Oh, absolutely. I have experienced communications from persons who are no longer in physical form ever since I was a child. For me, it's something quite normal.
Wow. Do you remember your first experience?
Oh, absolutely. My first experience was with my grandfather, whose name I carry. He was such an amazing man. He spoke to angels and told me all about his conversations all the time. He was quite metaphysical. And he talked about how reality that we see in the physical form is not all there is. And he talked at great length when it came close to the time that he was going to transition. And he knew exactly what day that was going to be. He talked to me then that he would be back. He wasn't leaving me, that there might be a time that I would feel a loss, but he wasn't really going to be gone. So when he did transition, I did feel that loss. I did feel that void in my life. I was only a child at the time. I was 8 or 9 years old, and I missed him so much because I used to sit and talk with him all the time. I would read to him from the Reader's Digest. He loved the jokes and he loved the short stories. That was the highlight of my day, just to read to him. It kind of created a void there. Then one afternoon, I was in his house backyard where he had built a dollhouse, and I was gardening, and I heard his voice telling me which plant went where. And it was exactly the way he used to teach me about which plants needed to be planted next to which plant and which ones in the sunlight and which ones in the shade. I knew it was him because my grandfather and I were very close. And my grandfather used to carry butterscotch candies in his pocket, the hard candy butterscotch. In fact, I don't even know if you can get those anymore. So when we would spend time together and I'd be listening to him talk or I would be reading to him, he would give me one of these butterscotch candies. So that day when I was gardening, I had the taste of butterscotch in my mouth.
Wow.
I didn't have a candy anywhere. But when he was talking to me, I tasted butterscotch. And so I knew it was him. And I felt very calm. I did shed a couple of tears because it was just a very sweet connection for me. It wasn't the grief of loss. It was the connection of he's still here. I am able, anytime that I have a difficulty in my life. I have something that's just more than I can figure out. I'm feeling overly stressed. I will call out to him and I will know that he's heard me when I taste butterscotch. He has sent answers not only in feelings and thoughts, but he's actually sent people so that they, in passing, might say something that was exactly what I needed to hear, or they showed up to give me the support or the assistance that I needed at that exact time. And I always know that it was from him because I get the taste of butterscotch.
That I have never even heard of anybody experiencing a taste before. I've heard about hearing or seeing or sensing, but never taste. That is incredible.
Well, I also, my grandma, his wife, my grandma, when she transitioned, which was 50 some years later, I knew because she visited me and I did sense her presence. And I saw something that to me was a little hazy because it was at night. But more importantly, I smelled her soap. She made her own soap. It had its own fragrance and no one used that soap but her. So I knew grandma's smell. Again, there's nothing in my home that has that fragrance. It was there and it was unbelievable. And the cool thing about when that happened, it was the night she was transitioning. She stopped in to tell me, but she also told me I needed to call my sister. I thought, okay, fine, I'll call my sister. And then grandma was gone and I picked up the phone and I dialed the number. The person answered at the other end and I said, grandma has just left us and she told me to call you. And she said that you need to light a candle, take a deep breath and just meditate and be at peace. And the voice at the other end of the line said, I don't know who you are. I'm not your sister, but that's the message I needed to hear.
Oh, wow.
So she used me in that moment to help someone else. So of course, this is before cell phones and caller ID and all that sort of stuff. Then I immediately carefully dialed my sister. And when she answered, I went, is this my sister? No, I need to make sure. And then I told her what had just happened. And she said, well, that's cool because I need that same message because I'm feeling a bit stressed. And that's what grandma used to always tell us to do. And she said, I just needed to hear that at this moment. And I said, well, so did that other person, whoever that was. Grandma needed her to know too. And That's you know, the good fortune that I have, that when they were in physical form, I had something that connected me directly with them. With my grandpa, it was the butterscotch candy. And with my grandma, it was her soap, because it was just something so precious and so her. And maybe that's why I still have those connections now that they're in spirit form, is because they were so powerful for me when they were in physical form.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool that your grandfather was so open to talk to you about angels on the other side. For I believe this is a conversation that really gets pushed off to the side. Oh, don't be silly, or you're making things up, or whatever would come into people's minds based on the other side, because we can't prove it. It's based solely on our belief system, really.
And my feelings, what makes that even more special with my grandfather is my grandmother was a very devout Christian. Non-denominational, but she read her Bible every single day. She lived by the principles in that Bible every single day. She was in church whenever the doors were open. And here he was, almost a complete opposite of that, and they were a perfect match for each other. I just find that it's also something that gave me insight into different ways that people perceive things. She perceived the world according to that book. He perceived the world according to what he received in spiritual messages. It gave me a wonderful foundation.
Yeah, a very balanced approach. And the universe is very funny in getting you to call that person and tell them, light a candle. Okay.
Can you imagine getting one of those phone calls? I mean, I was so intent on passing forward the message, I didn't even acknowledge that it was my sister. There was no, hello, how are you? It was just, I blurted it out. So.
So do you receive messages and communications from other souls that you believe have passed away that you've known or not known?
Well, I believe that I do. One of my friends wanted to buy a house and she was having difficulty closing on it. For some reason, the papers just wouldn't go through, or there was a problem here or something. And she said, I really want this house. You want to go check it out with me? And I said, sure. And we went into the house and I didn't feel comfortable. And then I looked and there was a man standing out by the pool and he had no shoes on and his shirt was all ruffled and his hair was kind of a mess. And he didn't look like he belonged. I couldn't figure out what he was doing there. And I turned to ask my friend, who was the person outside? And she didn't see him. So I went ahead and walked outside. And when I walked outside, there was a newspaper where that man had been standing. that he had murdered his wife in that house. The woman that he had, his wife that he had murdered, had a very physical resemblance to my friend. Oh. And so when I brought it in, I said, I think this is saying, don't live here. This is not your house. You may think it's your house, but I have a feeling this is not your house. And so she didn't buy the house, and she found another house that turned out to be the perfect house for her. So I do believe that that was a message that I was there so that I could deliver it to her, because especially she didn't know what the resistance was.
She didn't see the man.
She didn't see the man at all. And then there was a time in my life too that I have called out for help and had someone show up in physical form that wasn't anyone that I knew. And one particular instance, I was in the hospital in my early 20s. I had what was supposed to be a simple outpatient surgery. It turned out that they wanted to keep me overnight. So that scared me, because I'd never had surgery in my life. I didn't have any comfort with, okay, everything's going to be fine because I've had this before. And when they took me to my room, I called a friend of mine who's had a dozen surgeries, and he kind of talked me down a little bit and calmed me a little bit. And he said, you know, you just need to kind of relax and just know that everything's going to be fine, and something will show up for you that will let you know that everything is okay. And my friend, who thought she was going to take me home because it was supposed to be outpatient, was in the room with me trying to keep me calm. And this wonderful nurse came in, and she came in and she used a cool washcloth to wipe my head and my hands. And I wasn't allowed to have anything to drink post-surgery, so she gave me ice cubes, and she made me comfortable in bed. And she was singing this beautiful song, and it was real soft. I couldn't make out the words, but it just made me feel like everything was going to be okay. And she tucked me in, and I just went back to sleep. And the next morning, when I was being discharged from the hospital, as I left, I said, I really want to acknowledge this nurse. She was, and I described what she had done for me. And they said, oh, definitely want to acknowledge a nurse that is that great. And I described her, and the discharge person got a great smile on her face. She said, we don't have anyone by that description that works for this hospital. And you're not the only one who's ever seen her.
Wow.
She comes around when people really, really need her. So somebody sent her, she was there. And I know that it was real, that I wasn't hallucinating from anesthesia, because my friend was there. And she even said, wait, what?
Well, yeah, and I mean,
the
ice cubes didn't just show up by themselves.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that she was there as a communicator of some sort. I consider her to be spirit in physical form in those moments when people needed her. She communicated exactly what I needed. I've had a few incidences where I've sat with friends who are grieving because of somebody that has passed on, and I can feel the presence in the room with them and can communicate short messages, but I'm not a channel for that. The communications I receive are most times, almost every time, just related to me in my life. But there's been a couple times because a friend had been in such pain that it just seemed that I was there for the perfect reason.
I always joke that the universe has a funny sense of humor, but I think it's very much by divine design, circumstances that come into play, and spending time with certain people and receiving those messages when we're open, and especially to be able to share them and communicate that experience.
Absolutely. I think being open is probably the most important part of it. When I have spoken with other people who are so grieved and they want some form of connection or communication, still at some point, hopefully trying to connect with the other side or whatever definition they give to it, that intensity of needing it can actually block the hearing of any message, because it is so intense, it's loud, and you can't then receive. It takes time to get from the grief to the openness and the willingness, for me anyway. And I think everybody moves from point A to point B at their own level. They have to go through it on their own. Everyone's journey is different. I personally don't follow the stages of grief that people hang on to. I think you are in whatever feeling you are till you're complete and you move to the next one, whatever that is. When we are in a more receiving place and a willingness to let go and know they're no longer in physical form, however, they are still with us, I think is the first step of being able to to accept a message or hear a message or see a message.
What advice would you have for somebody to be more open to receiving a message?
I think patience is part of it. My father transitioned just before COVID, and I was real close to my dad, and it hit me really hard. I was there, fortunately. I was with him at the exact moment. I was able to communicate everything in those moments before, during, and then after. For the first few hours, I felt disconnected because it was so intense. I had no previous experience with that closeness. For weeks afterwards, I was inconsolable because the connection was shaky for me. I didn't know how to register with that. And it took until his celebration of life for me to then be able to go, okay, I am not going to live in the grief of his loss. I need to live in the joy of his life. I can still be sad. I can still miss him. I can still, even now, something come on the television where it's about a family and the dad's gone. It's like, oh, I will break out in tears. Absolutely. But not all day, just while the movie's on, until the Kleenex is done. I think for me, it was that moment I said, he brought so much joy into my life. I have to focus on the joy. I have to focus on the memory of all the great things and find laughter and connection in that, because I don't want to connect to him through grief. I don't want to come to him and say, please, where are you? And the tears and the sadness, because I don't believe that he would respond to me that way. He wouldn't respond to me that way in life. So why would he respond to me now, you know, in spirit? Because in life, he would have said, what is bothering you? What do you need to do to feel that? And I'll be back. You know, I mean, he just wasn't one of the guys that would hang around and be there for that. But he was really good at acknowledging that there needed to be space. So I don't think that it would be any different when I want to communicate now that he's no longer in physical form. It takes time for each person, and to be gentle with ourselves, to know that it's okay. We have those emotions for a reason, and we are allowed to feel them because they're ours. And the person next to us doesn't have the same feelings. It's not their journey. I don't think that that person can tell me how I should feel and how long I should feel that way. I'm going to do it in my own path. So for me, if someone was needing assistance to get from super grief to super willingness to hear messages, I have to let them be with where they are and just be supportive of wherever that space is. If today it's full grief, okay, be grief. And then when you're not, let's move to what's next. But acknowledge that that's real. We're not as much grieving unnecessarily. We are grieving that there is now something that's no longer in physical in our space. And we're missing that. We're missing that connection. We have space. We don't know what to do with that. So instead of letting the void be there for more grief, put joy in that void. Because if we don't, the universe is going to give us back what we're putting out, which is more grief. That's why my turning point was, I need to remember the good things. So I started to make a collage of my father. Like some people do a vision board of all the things that they want. I did a collage of photographs of the things I shared with my father and the things that brought us joy and the times that he was laughing and the good times. And I made this beautiful collage so that I could look at that in my grief and find something absolutely hysterical. Or I could see something where he, oh yeah, he said that. Yep, that's true. And I would reconnect with the joy he brought into the physical realm. So by doing that, I know here I am, maybe a year. No, we've been a year of COVID. So I guess it's more than a year, maybe a year and a half since my father has transitioned. I was doing something the other day and it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. And I heard his voice. I knew it was him, because he said it exactly the way he would have said it if he'd have been in physical form. That was, oh, you're going to give up? Or are you going to find another way? And I thought, well, only he used to speak to me like that. And I knew it was him. And plus, I kind of get a, you know, a little shiver when my father speaks to me. It's like, yeah, I'm connected. It's that excitement of, yeah, I'm daddy's girl. I know he's here. For some people, it's longer journey to get from the grief, because within that grief, sometimes people have feelings of guilt that need to be acknowledged. I wished I should have. I should have done this. I should not have done that. I think those need to be healed separately from the grief, to know that you did what you did the best you could in the time and space that you had, and you need to forgive yourself for that. Then you can experience the grief in its pureness
Yeah, I often say to not use the word woulda, coulda, or shoulda. We shouldn't shoulda on ourselves because it's over and done with. It can't be changed now, but we can find some modicum of peace within our experience.
That's very much true for me. I agree that coulda, shoulda, woulda is very damaging because we cannot do anything about that. For me, it's a matter of reminding myself in that moment, in that time, with the resources I had, with whatever was going on, I did my very best. I showed up. It may not be to the standard of measurement that I have today, but today I'm in a different place, physically and emotionally. I have different resources. That's not fair to judge me today on what was then. So that is its own process that needs to be removed from the grief of the person no longer in physical form, because that muddies stuff up for people where they'll be in that grief of regret and then not be able to really experience the love that is in grief.
Yeah, for sure. You've been just so fantastic to talk with, Sumner. I'm so happy that you've taken some time with me today. One last question before we go, and that would be if you had advice for someone on grief, and you've shared some great things already, but if you had further advice for somebody going through grieving right now, what would it be? Maybe something that helped you through.
I'm not sure I have anything other than what I just shared about grief, because that's the way it is in my world, is separating the regrets from the grief, but really allowing yourself to feel it. Feelings are real. Emotions are real. That's part of this physical experience that we're having, to not discount any of them. Do not listen to anyone outside yourself that tells you it's not okay. Don't listen to someone outside yourself that says you shouldn't be doing it that way. There's that should again. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to people outside yourself that try to push you in a way that they think that you should go. This is a personal journey. It's a journey that, this journey is unique to each individual. No two people have that same journey. You can all experience the same transition of the same individual, but that doesn't mean your experience in your journey of grief to joy is going to be the same. I know for my siblings, their experience in the beginning, we were similar because we did spend time talking to each other and listening to each other. So we were similar. However, I remember times that I would say something that I would watch them kind of get big-eyed and back up because their journey was different. And suddenly mine was obviously different. It's a unique journey. We can't rush it. If we try to rush it, we're going to find ourselves missing something. It's a step we need to take each one. And it's our choice of what those steps are. If we try to stay in that spot forever, we continue to grieve for extended periods of time. We stop growing. And the part with stop growing is we also then lose connection to that person on the other side. Because it's my personal sense that they are waiting for us. They're there to support us. They're there to hold us. They're there to love us. I know that the times when I grieve, I can feel my father's presence. He's there. He doesn't interfere. But there's that love. I feel that they are there waiting for us to get to joy, getting to appreciation, getting to that knowingness that we're still connected. It's just a different plane. It just has a different appearance. And when we can move through the darkness of grief to more joy and have a harmony with it, I think that's when we get to where we can experience more joy in everything else around our life as well. And those that are there to support us, both in physical form and spirit form, now have more space to join us on that journey and be with us.
Wow. Thank you. This podcast has so much to unpack. I can't wait to go back and re-listen to it myself. So if people were to contact you online, or where can people find you if they wanted to have further connection with you, or to maybe get some more interest in the web accessibility for those with disabilities, as I think that's a powerful topic in and of itself.
Persons with disabilities and their civil rights are my passion. I'm very outspoken about it. And so if somebody wanted to know more about that, they could find it on my website, which is sumnerdavenport.com. They can also use the contact form on that site to contact me. They can follow me on Twitter, my name put together, Sumner Davenport. I post mostly things about web accessibility, the rights of persons with disabilities, and why that's important, that we're all connected. Because if I may, persons with disabilities a lot of times are seen as different, others, and sometimes feared and a lot of times discriminated against. But every single human being on this planet will have a disability at some point. Either it's going to be an illness, an accident, something that is a conditional disability because of the environment. We had a lot of people during COVID that suddenly were disabled because COVID changed their ability to hear or to speak, or their cognitive got all muffled. And even now afterwards, some people still experience migraines, which they didn't before. Every person on this planet will experience a disability at some point in their life before they transition. So for me, it's a matter of embracing all persons, regardless. No disclaimers, just everyone. And know that that which we judge could be us next.
Yeah, it really brings full circle this idea that we are one, right? We are.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic and absolutely fabulous work. So congratulations on the work that you've done with that. And I know for a fact there's a lot more work that needs to be done in that area. So yeah, thank you for being an advocate for those with disabilities that they need someone to help them move along their own journeys.
Thank you for letting me mention it.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Sumner. I will put Sumner's website information in the podcast details below. We are so grateful for our guests for sharing their time with us and sharing their experiences. It's wonderful to know that we're not alone, and it's so great to hear that even though our loved ones have passed, that they are still here with connections, albeit different from before. Be sure to subscribe and to share this podcast. If you have an experience that you'd like to share, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Please email me. We're also grateful to Kevin McLeod and to Computech for sharing this wonderful background music entitled Happy Dreams. Thank you for sharing your time with us. May you enjoy your time still being here.